This is exactly right.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode is brought to you by Dr. Squatch. When your personal care routine needs a refresh, Dr. Squatch is here to help. They have high-performing natural products with no harmful ingredients that'll have you looking and smelling your best. Like the Bay Rum Soap and Deodorant. It smells delightfully spicy. And right now, they have an amazing offer for new customers. Get 20% off your first purchase of any amount or a subscription order by going to drsquatch.com/Spotify or use the code Spotify at checkout.
Are you ready for it?
Curdy B, I'm always ready to hear you tell me entertaining things that make me laugh and laugh and laugh.
Grandma holds plank pose for 4.5 hours to set world record.
Oh, good for her. That's not easy to do. Well, let's do a little tighten up. It's a gut check on a very old news yet new news episode of Bananas.
Guys, gals, non-binary pals, welcome to the Bananas Podcast. I am Kurt Brownoler.
I am Banana Boy number 2, Scotty Landis. We just want to say thank you for listening to the silliest little podcast there ever was. It keeps growing. One day we'll be the mediumist little podcast there ever was, but we're just having fun.
And remember, if you're in Chicago or Madison or Minneapolis, we're coming to you May 3rd, May 4th, May 5th. Please
come say hey.
Go to bananaspodcast.com for all your tickets, all your information. It's September 7th, Denver, Bananas Fest. More information coming soon, but it will be the best time you've ever had in your entire life. I can guarantee it.
We can guarantee that. And if you come to our show in Madison, it's Comedy on State. I've never had cheese curds in Wisconsin, so please, somebody bring them up during the show, and we'll do some real ASMR stuff where I eat my first cheese curd live to tape.
I'm so excited about our guest today.
Yes.
Our guest today is comedian and actress and writer who has appeared on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert and Netflix's comedy lineup. She's also the author of the Audible original Dirtbag Anthropology and the co-host of the political comedy podcast Reply Guys. And she's also written jokes for Beavis and Butthead.
Monster.
And her new special, Loopholes, comes out everywhere April 23rd. Please welcome to the show the wonderful Kate Willett.
Hello.
Hey, Kate. I'm Scotty. We've never met before.
It's so nice to meet you.
It's so nice to meet you, too. I know who you are. I know you as a performer, and it's a real thrill. So thank you for being on Bananas.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I was really excited. I was listening to some of the podcasts on my drive, and it's really funny and cute. I love it.
Good. Are you being kidnapped right now? You are inside
of
a vehicle.
No, I'm on my way to a show in Canada, actually.
Fun. Fun. How far up you going?
Tonight I'm going to be in London, Ontario, and then tomorrow in Toronto. So, you know, kind of close to New York, fun. I guess. Not too far.
Where are you playing in London, Ontario?
This venue called Beer Lab.
Okay, that sounds nice.
Right up our alley, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's a lab with some beer. I'm guessing they do various experiments there on how drunk you can get or what. I don't know.
That sounds like I was just in Ontario, and it was delightful.
That's awesome.
It's a very pleasant place. So tell us about Loopholes. I've always loved your comedy. As for those of you who don't know, Kate and I have performed together multiple times. I think the first time was at Rooster Teeth Feathers.
That was so long ago. I think it was right before you were about to have a kid. It was like, I feel like your set was like all about how you were about to become a dad.
Yeah. And now it's all about being a dad.
Nothing changed.
Yeah, and now you are a dad. Yeah.
Same guy. Same exact guy, just two little kids. That's fun. That's so fun.
And where did you shoot Loopholes?
So I shot it at this theater in New York on the Upper West Side called the Triad Theater. It was a really cute space. I actually shot it at the end of 2022. So it took a while for it to come out with the production process and stuff like that, because we had a whole strike in between. But I'm really excited about it. One thing that's funny about this special is, I have so many jokes in here about a relationship that I had kind of recently ended at that time, but now so much time has passed that I'm like, oh, this is weird. I just want you to know that I wrote this a while ago.
Interesting. But that's going to happen, right? These things don't, it's like stand-up itself is immediate feedback, but then specials, they kind of are out of your control when they get released.
Yeah. No, it's a fun special. During the pandemic, I ended up thinking a lot about what my mom's life was like and my grandma's life, because they were just staying home, and I was like, shit, I actually really hate staying home. That would be so hard to do all the time. And I think, I didn't write a ton
about
the
staying home so much.
Anything,
you do podcasts from rest areas.
Yes.
Yeah. Now I've moved on to the big time, but big time rest areas. But I ended up writing a lot about, just kind of themes of domesticity and feminism and just the way that it's changed to be a woman over the past 50 years and stuff, because just being in the house all the time made me think about that a lot. And I also was living with this guy that was an incredibly bad fit for me. We would have had a 2-week
relationship. I don't like this guy.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of this guy already. I'm telling you right now. I don't like this guy.
Well, he wasn't terrible, but it's just sometimes there's people that you're just meant to date for 2 weeks. We were meant to date for 2 weeks, but we ended up living together for a year because
pandemic.
It was a pandemic. And so, I think I wrote some really funny jokes about that relationship and stuff. I don't know. It was kind of great to just get that all out in the special. And now I feel like it kind of ended a chapter in my life, I guess, and on to a new one.
Nice. Good. Yeah, as a stand-up, you get to publicly end chapters, which is a very interesting way to live your life.
Yeah, I had a friend when I was in New York who was like, my boyfriend and I broke up again. And I'm like, why? She's like, well, I talk about my boyfriends a lot on stage and they don't like it. I'm like, well, okay, I think we know what the problem here might be. It's going to, if you're just shuffling through dudes because you're always talking about your relationship and they come to your shows, sometimes this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Maybe let's talk about other things.
Yeah, I only have one joke about my boyfriend now. I have a boyfriend now, and he's very sweet. And I have a long bit about how he likes football, which is a topic that I never thought I would be writing about. But he loves football, and to me, there's just something so funny about trying to contemplate why people like sports if it's not something that you can relate to at all. You know?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For people who didn't, it's very interesting because I grew up raised by a single mom. I never watched sports, was never good at sports. And so therefore spent all of my 20s and my 30s just being like, I don't understand this and I don't care. Now that I have kids, for some reason, they play sports now. It's now a thing to watch sport, and we do it so rarely. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But my mother-in-law really likes college football for University of Michigan. And so we'll watch those games together. And I've just for the first time at 48 years old okay, I can understand how you would spend your time this way. And it actually is a very pleasant way to spend time with other people because it gives you something to talk about at all times. It's immediate conversation starter.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I've struggled with that.
I just was thinking about, too, like, if you think about, like, the good traits in a partner, like somebody who, like, listens and just is emotionally supportive and stuff, that's literally what people are doing when they're watching sports. They're just sitting there sending good vibes to someone else.
There's a lot of empathy.
But yeah. Someone who they don't know.
Just emotionally supporting random guys.
Exactly. You're just really cheering for random guys that you feel like you know who have no idea you exist. Seems normal. Mother's Day is right around the corner. And you know what they say. You can lead a podcast listener to the perfect gift, but you can't make them buy it. So this is Banana Boy number 2, giving you a friendly, semi-urgent reminder that Mother's Day is May 12th and your mom will love an Aura frame. So please, help me help you get your mom the perfect gift. Aura frames are Wi-Fi connected digital frames that allow you to easily share unlimited photos and videos from anywhere. Anyone in the family can get the Aura app and instantly share their own photos to your mom's frame as well. And thanks to Aura's unlimited storage, you can share memories, new and old, to the frame. You know how your mom loves to see your face? You know how your mom loves to see your baby? You know how your mom loves to see your face next to your baby's face? Well, you can share that in a matter of seconds. Whether your mom wants to display her Aura frame on the gallery wall in her living room or keep it right there on her nightstand so she can look at your face one more time before going off to slumberland, Aura's variety of colors and sizes make it easy to find the right one. So how easy is the Aura app to use? Well, I'm terrible at phones and pooters, and even I got it done easily. Whenever I travel, my mom will see where I am, and she'll text me, send it to my Aura. We've done this for so long that I actually got her a second frame so she can have one upstairs and downstairs, and the whole family contributes photos. Then when I go home for the holidays, I sit there and I look at it. I see what everybody else uploaded. Aura frames are an excellent gift for Mother's Day, or really any day. And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Bananimals can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com and using our code BANANAS to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com and use our code BANANAS right now to save at checkout. Terms and conditions may apply.
Okay, you want to hear about this, Kate?
Kate, it's a grandma who's planking. That's what we're going for.
Yeah.
Okay.
So again, to remind you, grandma holds plank pose for 4.5 hours to set world record.
Wow.
This was sent in by the delightful and wonderful Rebecca O.M. Thank you, Rebecca. If you have any banana stories you want to send in, you can send them in. DM us on Instagram at The Bananas Podcast, or you can email us at TheBananasPodcast@gmail.com. This was in News 5 Cleveland, written by Marie Rossiter.
Rossiter. She's good at old news. She does old news better than anybody. She makes old news feel fresh.
Okay. Here it is, the classic opening paragraph that's just about the general idea of planking.
Okay.
Everybody knows what planking is. And if you don't, it's you rest on your elbows and you hold your whole body upright.
Okay.
Toes and elbows are what's touching the ground. So, blah, blah, blah. The new world record holder is Donna Jean Wild.
Yeah, Donna Wild.
And the record is for female with longest time holding an abdominal plank position on March 21st. Guinness World Records declared Wild the new woman's planking champion with a time of 4 hours, 30 minutes, and 11 seconds.
Wow.
Guinness posted about the stunning achievement on X with a picture of Wild smiling as she holds her core-shredding forearm plank pose. The 58-year-old retired teacher. She's a grandma at 58. So it's like,
yeah,
a very, very young grandma.
Shredded.
She is a grandma, technically, though.
Of course she is.
Yeah.
Of course.
Anybody with grandchildren can be a grandma. That's
exactly.
Like that's it. Doesn't matter how old you are.
The 58-year-old retired teacher and assistant principal from Alberta, Canada, from where you're going, Kate, is a grandmother who has proven to have the strength of people half her age. Her new world record surpassed the previous one set in 2019 by Canadian, Dana Glowacka, who planked for 4 hours, 19 minutes, and 55 seconds in 2019. What is the name of the The Canadian sport where they just push a stone across ice.
Curling.
Curling. Curling and planking. The Canadians love it.
You got to combine them. That stone could go underneath somebody planking. If you had planking grandmas that you had to curl under, that would be very. That would be a ratings machine.
Are you kidding me? That really would be. They have to. It's grandmas who have to plank for the entirety of the game, and then you just curl underneath them.
Yeah.
Canadian
bocce.
There's not much more to this. How did Wild feel about her record-setting plank? My elbows great hurt question. Pretty bad. That's what she said. She just said she just started because she realized she could like do other things while she exercised, so she would read books and stuff. She normally planks for 3 hours a day, which seems so fucking crazy.
That's a long time.
It's so much planking.
So much planking. But also just to have 3 hours a day where you're just like, well, time to just stay in this position.
Yeah. What a weird addiction too. You know, I mean, I guess it's a healthy one. Like some people are addicted to like, you know, fentanyl or something. Being addicted to planking is so low consequence.
It just takes up a lot of your time. It's like, I can't come to your ballet recital, honey. I'm going to be planking at that time. I'm planking from 4 to 8 p.m.
That's really
true. Yeah, like their kid just crying in therapy. Like, I really wish my mom was there for me, but she was planking.
She's planking all the time.
The therapist is trying to be understanding, be like, well, it's good for her. I mean, how long does she plank? It's like 4.5 hours sometimes in one room. She's reading, totally normal.
She did live to be 100, but the time I got to spend with her was cut in half. So it's really like she lived to be 70.
I think this would be bigger news story if they planked over things. I like people should go over the U.S.-Canada border. People should do over wherever the Grand Canyon begins and it's just a little rivulet. Go over that and say, Grandma planks over the Grand Canyon. And technically...
And you should call that, should have technically a different name. It should be called cranking. When you plank over something significant, that's a crank.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I would love to crank. Have you ever been, Kate, have you ever been to that place where the four states meet? What's it called?
Never.
Four corners.
That would be great.
That's the ultimate crank.
That's the ultimate crank. that's a limb in each state. Mm. Nobody's beating that.
Mm-mm. The ultimate crank.
Mm.
So funny.
That is so funny. What world record would you pull off if you pulled something off, Kate?
I mean, honestly, what could you do for 4 hours even?
Is there anything you could do for 4 hours?
Oh, man. I feel like I don't have any like world record type things. Yeah, man, I'm just, you know, I got to come up with something, but I'm just the kind of person who like gives up on difficult things very easily. Like I would be like planking for like 1 second, and I'm like, I'm tired.
I read this, and I immediately like tried to. I was like, and I like planked for 45 seconds, and I was like, that's enough for me. Thank you.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think I have a good minute in me, but I'd be wobbling. I just don't. Yes, I think I wouldn't be great at this, but good for her. Also, it's just anything for 4 hours. Like, I don't want to watch two movies back to back. I used to be frustrated. Where did you start doing stand-up, Kate? Where was your first open mics and all those kind of things?
I started in San Francisco.
Oh, fun.
Which I actually was thinking about when you said planking. I was like, I don't have any stories about planking, but I have had some weird pranking. Like someone did, like, I feel like I could maybe have the world record for like the weirdest prank that happened to me recently.
What?
We would love to hear it.
So a man that is dating my friend threw a chicken at me, like
live?
A live chicken, like a farm animal, his pet. And this was a thing that happened to me at a party in San Francisco recently. I was just trying to explain my feelings about it to various people. And they're like, wait a minute. What? There was a chicken? Why was there a chicken?
Sure.
Where were you that there was a chicken?
Wait.
And so that's what my life in San Francisco was like. It kind of all ties in.
Here's my question. Did you catch the chicken?
Great question.
No, I didn't even see the chicken because I was like turned to the side and I was like, I just felt it. It was just like beating wings. And I was like, what the hell? Is this the world's biggest bug or something?
Was it on your, he threw it at your head?
Yeah.
Why?
He seems chill.
Why? What's going on with him?
He was too addicted to pranking. Like, you know, some people prank and some people prank.
Yeah, that's right.
He
this
loves
guy
to
is too
that
addicted.
Woman was destroying her relationships by planking too much. This guy, you know, he pranks too many people and he has problems with it.
I mean, yeah, thank God he doesn't raise like porcupines. It'd been a nightmare.
Yeah.
I remember early on, so when I moved to New York City, I was a fan of Kurt's, especially early on when he and Kristen were doing, like they would do sketches on stand-up shows. And you know those variety shows where it would, you're trying to get butts in seats. So a lot of nights it would be like 6 to 8 to 10 acts where it'd be like, here's 6 comics, Kurt and Kristen, the host. And it felt like a marathon. And at first I was like, this is so exciting. I'm seeing so many comics in one night.
Yeah.
And then I realized that after about 40 minutes of laughing, you just stop laughing and you start listening. And I'm sure you as comics know that to be true, where it's like, whoever comic number 5 or 6 or 8 would be in that night, sometimes it'd be somebody amazing that just dropped in and you're done laughing.
Yeah.
You have fake laughs where you're like, ha 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 ha. And you're like, that poor guy. And then it's like, oh, that was Nikki Glaser. She's really good.
Yeah, exactly.
Hour and 15 minutes is, I think, where the sweet spot to end any comedy show.
I agree. Yeah. 75 minutes is a great amount of time.
Yeah. You know, there is no person in the world that I speak to more than my wife, Lauren. We live together, we work together, and we have 2 kids together. And so there's just constant communication between the two of us, emails, Instagram, talking, texting. But what I've found, and I think what she found as well, was that even though there was constant communication, the level of connection, like that was still a rare thing, like how often we actually connected with one another. And that was something we found was just so valuable for like a functioning relationship. And that's why, honestly, I'm very excited to have Paired, the app for couples, as a sponsor of Bananas. Paired is a mobile app that makes it easy for you and your partner to actively stay close to one another no matter where you are. It's kind of a fascinating, really cool idea. Once you both download the app and pair together, you're paired. And every day you'll each be prompted with a question, a quiz, or a game. All are designed to foster connection in just 5 minutes. Paired knows life moves quickly, so they specifically ask you questions that make you stop and think, like, what most you remember about the first time we met? Or what's something you most admire about your partner? The quizzes are fun and productive, and they touch on all kinds of important things like knowing yourself or managing jealousy, stuff that tends to slip through the cracks in the hustle of day-to-day life. And parents, okay, Paired, it was a great idea for a Mother's Day gift. I really like Paired. To like today I was asked, which of your partner's skills would you like to borrow for a day? I like that, you know, and it doesn't take long to answer that. And then it's all of a sudden this like kind of cool conversation. And to for the record, I would like to borrow Lauren's ability to act. She's an excellent actor. Share the love by going to paired.com/bananas to get a 7-day free trial and up to 25% off if you sign up for a subscription. Again, think of Paired this Mother's Day if you're looking to reconnect or deepen your connection with your partner. That's Paired, paired.com/bananas to sign up today. Give the gift of connection. A happier relationship starts here.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Scotty, give me another one.
Oh, sure. This is a fun one. This was sent in a long time ago by Laura Boisson or Boyson, but I bet it's Boisson.
Boisson.
Laura, I did not forget about you. This was on the Good News Network, which we don't cover that often because they're basically us, but almost too happy. And it was written by that cool Good News Network staff. You are doing great work. I mean,
the Good News Network also does sound like it's a Christian cult.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. There's probably a band out there that wants to sue them because they were like, we're the Good News Network. We turn Billy Joel tunes into something for JC. Anyways, unmarried brothers here's the headline. Unmarried brothers looking for an heir to preserve the world's largest collection of cuckoo clocks.
Wow. And I'm shocked that neither of them are married.
Yeah, wow.
Clock's ticking.
I mean, I'm just imagining his dating app profile, you know, just like looking for someone who loves cuckoo clocks and just swiping and swiping because no one mentions it.
Yeah. You know what time it is? Time for us to get married because we are brothers who collect the world's biggest collection of cuckoo clocks. Honestly, okay, so there's a video online that we'll link to that is worth watching because, okay, let's just get into it. Kate, how many cuckoo clocks do you think it would take to have the world's largest collection of cuckoo clocks?
9?
Great guess. 9 is her guess. Kurt, what do you got?
2,572.
Well, you guys split the diff, and it lands right between those. Two unmarried brothers are seeking an heir to take over their cuckoo clock collection, the largest one in the entire world.
Oh, so I love this. I love it. So they're not looking for a mate. They're skipping the mate process. They're going right to getting an heir. They're looking for a child to give a ton of cuckoo clocks to.
That is right.
Weirder.
Yes, thank you. More bananas. For 5 decades, Roman and Maz Pekarsky have collected 750 intricate pendulum-driven clocks to display in their Cuckoo Land Museum.
Cuckoo Land. Oh, is it? If it was next to Graceland, that would be the best branding ever, ever.
It is in England. It's in Cheshire, England, for those keeping score at home. And I was in England last August and September. And if I had known about this, I 100% would have made a pilgrimage to see Cuckoo Land Museum. But as the time ticks down on their careers, the siblings, who have no children, are now desperate to find someone to take the metronomic menagerie before their deaths, according to the Southwest News Service.
How old are they?
I'm 71 and Maz is 69, and we have not got anybody to leave it to, explained Roman. It would be wonderful if we could get someone to take it on. It really would be. Somebody will, by the way.
And maybe 100%. It's an animal,
but somebody will do this. They became fascinated with clocks as teenagers, and they went to the trade as apprentices after leaving school at 15. These brothers from England traveled all around the world hunting down unique timepieces while trying to beat rival collectors in the United States and Germany. But after amassing the world's largest collection for their museum outside of Cheshire, you can see the video below or in our stories, they now have no sons or daughters to leave it to.
Or so
non-binary children who love cuckoo clocks.
They were so busy clocking that they didn't get to fucking.
What time is it? Time to fuck? Nope. There's one we got to go pick up in Poland. So sayonara.
I don't think you can say bad words when you talk about cuckoo clocks. It just feels like it doesn't go together.
And also, technically, I didn't say any bad words because I said fucking.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Yeah, keep your hands where we can see them. For the last 4 years, I've been making small inquiries as to finding somebody who could run this and take it over, says Roman, but I've not found a single person who will come and run our museum. We're looking for somebody to take over Cuckoo Land.
Cuckoo Land. Keep it
Cuckoo Land. The merch sales alone. Hopefully, and keep it for all time. We've still got time to teach people, he said. And we don't care where we have to go to do it. So long as we know they'll maintain it, look after, give guided tours, and whatever else is necessary.
Yeah, baby.
So these two, you know, Roman and Maz, the Cuckoo Land duo.
I wonder, here's my question. I wonder for this future heir, is admission to Cuckoo Land enough to support one human being? Like, do enough people come to visit the clocks that this could be like your full time job and you wouldn't need to also work at like Home Depot and also do Cuckoo Land, you know? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great question. I mean, I think it kept these two. I mean, it doesn't say they were independently wealthy, so maybe these two kept it going.
All right.
Roman said he's approached various people about taking the collection but had not received any official offers despite mostly rave reviews from visitors and specialists. The British Museum, mostly it says on the Good News Network, the British Museum got in touch with us and they said, quote, if you could lift your place up and put it in our place, that would be the best thing we could do.
Whoa.
Isn't that interesting?
It's a weird way to say it.
Move the whole thing to the British Museum. Okay.
I think you could do it technically.
Yes. When people leave our museum, they are absolutely gobsmacked, Roman said. And it is impressive. And that probably drives you insane from the ticking and the birds going off pretty quick.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No wonder it's called Cuckoo Land. It would make you literally cuckoo.
People just can't believe what we've managed to put together. Their website has been abandoned. But if you are interested in a new career, I mean, we love these guys. God
bless
these
two. I love them so much. Anybody who has a passion and drives forward it, toward it with such single-minded determination, you got to admire that type of person.
Roman and Maz Pekarsky. So if you want to take this thing over, Bananimals, you can contact them by phone, which is like +441 565 633 039. That is the real number.
Great.
Or even better, visit them on Chester Road in Tabley, Cheshire.
I know someone who would do it, but they live in the United States. So that would be like too hard to get it all across the ocean, I think. What do you need like a giant ship, I guess? I don't know. Can't bring out a plane.
Nope. 750 cuckoo clocks? You need a big ass ship.
Yeah.
That's cool. I mean, good for these two. I'm sorry. Somebody will step up and do this.
People, I think so.
Yeah, I think so too. They put it out there. They put themselves out there.
And who is this German rival of theirs who hasn't gotten on a train and gone up there and said, I'll buy them all?
Who is their Mr. Slugworth? Who's just constantly buying cuckoo clocks out from under their nose. I'm sure that person would be interested.
Yep. Yep. They make modern cuckoo clocks.
They do?
I saw one that for sale. Yeah, it was a white. It looked very modern. It was a white cuckoo clock. And then the person, I was like, oh, this is cool. And then I started thinking, I don't want this thing to chirp every hour or whistle every hour. And then the guy's like, oh, don't worry, you can set it to silent. I'm like, well, okay, that's strange. And then he goes, and we also have a thing where it has a night vision sensor on it so it can tell when it's night. So it does, as soon as the sun goes down or it's dark, it won't cuckoo anymore. And I was like, well, at this point, I'm just going to buy a clock. Because what we're talking about is no longer the extravagance of having a bird trumpet its arrival of a new hour every hour.
I kind of want one now. I kind of do want one. Oh, my God.
You're a bird guy.
Anytime I hear the announcement of an hour, it makes me a little bit happy. I don't know. That's maybe just me.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, my gosh. Curtis P, you want to tease us into some thumbs ups?
Yeah. This one's specifically for Kate. Ex-Caltrain employee and contractor charged with building secret homes inside train stations.
That's cool.
That's in San Francisco. We'll get into it right after we do a little bit thing called thumbs up.
Thumbs ups. Lily wants to thumbs her therapist way up. Amanda, the therapist from River Valley Counseling, you are doing an amazing job. You are an amazing human being. And Lily says you're the reason she's still with us, which is beautiful and
thumbs
incredible.
Thumbs up.
Big thumbs up to you, Amanda, the therapist from River Valley Counseling. Lily also said, Curdy B, bananas is part of her daily routine and our voices, which she can always tell apart, help her get through bad days.
Oh, thank you. Thumbs up to you.
Good job, Lily. Nick Fry wants to thumbs his wife up. Since we met Nick in Kansas City, Kurt, he was at the Kansas City live show, and we said, hey, he has lost over 180 pounds.
Holy shit. Wow. Thumbs up.
That is a lot of weight. That's a lot of planking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His wife has been incredibly supportive of him and his journey to relearn his relationship with food. There isn't a better person, mother, or lover in the whole world. So thumbs up to Nick Fry's wife. Didn't get a
name. I love
on
someone
that
giving a thumbs up to their spouse. Like, that's so cute. I want that in my life.
I know, it's nice. We get those a lot, and but it's really nice because it's like life is hard, and if somebody's cheering you on, thumbs up.
Yeah,
it would be so mean to read like a thumbs down though. If someone said a thumbs down to their spouse, that would be like, oh, I'm not getting involved, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Thumbs up to Stacy and thumbs down to Margot. You know what you did.
Yeah.
You talk in your sleep, you lunatic. Okay, Sarah, I think it's Ranjbaran. And Sarah, I'm very sorry. You can thumbs me down if I got that wrong. Ranjbaran wants to thumbs herself up. After 4 years of trying to have a baby, Sarah and her husband welcomed a hilarious baby girl into this world. She's also thumbsing up every other parent who has ever existed because this shit is bananas, she
says. It is. It really, really is. Thumbs up to you. Congratulations.
Last but not least, this is a great one. The names that are going to come out of my mouth are so great. Okay. Olivia Jones, which is just a great name, wants to thumbs bananas up. After we sponsored the Phoenix women's rugby team, it inspired Olivia to join her local rugby team, the Chuckanut Bay Mussels in Bellingham, Washington.
The Chuckanut Bay Mussels?
Bay Mussels. Great mascot, great name for a bay. Chuck-a-nut.
Chuck-a-nut.
Can I give a thumbs up?
Yeah, you can give a thumbs up. Of course you can.
I did. I want to give a thumbs up to my boyfriend for something very specific. His name's John. I have a cat that like does not, she's like very cold to everybody. Mm-hmm. And then she really liked him, and she like came out of her shell, and she's like a nice cat now.
Wow.
So I want to give a thumbs up to John for making Pearl feel love for the first time.
Great thumbs up.
That's a great thumbs up.
That's a great thumbs up, Kate. And congratulations. You got thumbs up, John. And last but I just got to say the end of Olivia's thing is she did her first match, had a wonderful time, and got to meet a local area, for lack of the better word, we're going to just say weirdo because we're weirdos and we're positive about it. A guy named Broccoli Jim, Kurt.
Broccoli Jim?
Broccoli Jim comes to local sporting events holding two heads of broccoli in each hand and wearing a Solo Cup print shirt.
Yes,
and
he
cheers
does.
On local sports. So thank you. Oh, and Olivia says to the Banana Boys, thank you for supporting women and queer sports.
Yay. Of course.
Of course.
Yay.
Of course.
And the jerseys look awesome.
Yes, they do.
Go see the Phoenix rugby.
Women's rugby team.
Women's rugby team. They got a bananas logo right on the front.
We love them.
And of course, we are here with the wonderful Kate Willett, whose new comedy special, Loopholes, comes out everywhere on April 23rd. Thank you for being here, Kate. Kate's at a rest stop in Canada. Are you in Canada yet?
Not yet. I'm in upstate New York.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you have to do the Can Entry Open Canada app thing to get in still? Do you have to get tested for old Coco to get in there, or are the gates open?
I think I just show my passport and drive through. I heard it's really easy.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's pretty simpler. So you want to hear about this secret, this Caltrain employee?
Yes.
Sure.
Do you? Where do you live in the Bay Area?
Well, I live in New York now, but I used to live in San Francisco.
Oh, you do? Okay. Where did you live when you lived in San Francisco?
I lived in the Mission for about half the time for about 5 years, and then I lived in the Lower Haight for maybe another five.
Oh, so you were actually on the peninsula. Do people say on the peninsula?
Great question.
I feel like when people say the peninsula, they mean like down by Stanford. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
So not up in the finger. Do the people call it the finger in the bay?
I haven't, you know, I'll be honest with you, thumbs down. I haven't heard any of this.
Yeah, thumbs down.
I would be calling it the finger in the bay. I'd be like, I'm right in the cuticle area, the finger in the bay. All right, here it goes. This was sent in by Gus G.
Thanks, Gus G.
Thank you, Gus G. This was written by the Associated Press. They are the best in the biz.
They're really best in biz.
Again, ex-Caltrain employee and contractor charged with building secret homes inside train stations.
Great.
a former employee of Caltrain. This is like a sibling story to the one about that dude in New York who was doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Mass transit system that connects Silicon Valley with San Francisco, and a former contractor for the transit agency allegedly used public funds to build two small apartments for themselves inside two train stations, authorities said Thursday. San Mateo County prosecutors charged Joseph Vincent Navarro, former deputy director for Caltrain, pretty high up, and Seth Andrew Warden, a former employee of Transamerica Services, with felony charge of misusing public funds, which seems so insane that it's a felony charge to misuse public funds. That seems very silly and far too harsh.
Yep.
Warden 61 was arraigned Wednesday, blah, 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 blah. Let's see what they did. Prosecutor said between 2019 and 2020, Navarro allegedly conspired with Warden and approved $42,000 in building expenses to turn an office into a small apartment inside Caltrain's Burlingame train station. The criminal complaint alleges Warden used $8,000 in taxpayer funds to build himself similar living quarters inside the Millbrae train station. The newspaper
that is
reported.
A felony.
What?
I'm back. If it's taxpayer dollars, I'm back. That is stealing.
Navarro and Warden allegedly ensured that no invoice surpassed $3,000, averting further authorization from Caltrain. Caltrain first discovered the converted space at the Millbrae station, but the agency was unaware of Navarro's place in Burlingame until getting an anonymous tip in 2022. So he thought he was, clean and free. I want to understand where and how you build. That's the thing that this doesn't have. I did read another article about this, and it basically said that there was just like behind the bathroom in an office was just a full other like area where with a bed and a couch and a TV and a hot pot. I mean, like, and he lived there. He was his permanent residence.
That's cool.
And then the joke is that is how expensive it is to live in San Francisco. Ba-dum-bum. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to build a house inside a train station. For $42,000, that's pretty cheap apartment.
Pretty amazing. That's fun.
I would love
to. I know
to
a guy who lived in a closet in San Francisco, an actual closet.
Yeah.
And his whole thing, he was gay. And his whole thing is like he came out of the closet and then he had to go back to the closet. His housing was so expensive.
Yeah, I knew a guy in college named Ozzy I've mentioned on the pod a couple times for different things, but he rented a closet from somebody. So a guy in college, they had a house off campus, and one dude rented a room, and then Ozzy rented the closet from the guy who rented the room.
Whoa.
Oh my gosh,
really?
That's such a long chain of closet.
Closet rentership.
Yeah,
but also, if you're only going into the closet to sleep, and... Well, you Kurt, are like
Kurt lived in a closet. Is Kate? I don't know if you know this, but there was a brief time in Kurt's life where he lived in essentially a closet in the middle of Manhattan.
It was it was like they built walls in such a way that one bedroom just happened to not have a window, and so I lived in a windowless, tiny windowless room. Mm-hmm. So it was essentially a closet.
Yeah,
and also because it didn't have a closet, because it was a made room, I had to hang a bar over the bed, so I actually slept underneath my clothes.
So it was a closet, literally.
So 100% was a closet. It had enough room for my bed, one little place to put my clothes, and my clothes hung over my head. So I did live in a closet, and it's fine. If you want to be really depressed and drink all the time, it's fine.
Well, I mean, look, in New York, guys can get away with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got away with it. It was easy.
We got sent a story that I'm pretty surprised we didn't do about some landlord that got in trouble for turning one bedroom apartment into like nine mini apartments.
Oh my God. In New York?
It was almost two. Landlord. Yeah, it was a really crazy story, but the guy just put walls up and then just rented enough space for a bed, basically. A bed and your computer. And it was like, that's New York living, baby.
Yeah. I remember a friend of mine lived in an SRO. Have you seen any SROs in New York, Kate, yet?
In New York? No. I saw some in San Francisco, but it's weird because in San Francisco, there's like two kinds of SROs. There's like the traditional sort of SRO where like you know, you go because you really need a cheap place to live. And then they also have all these tech bro SROs in San Francisco.
No.
So that's kind of like, that's where you go if you want to be a douche. Yeah.
SR bro.
SR bro. Exactly. Yeah.
I was like shocked. I remember I was in my 20s and my friend was like, yeah, I got this place. It's pretty cheap. And I came out and I was like, so where's the bathroom? He's like, oh, it's down the hall. And he had a hot pot. And he just had a bed on the floor. And it was just like wide enough for like the bed and a drawers and a hot pot.
My God.
I keep calling it a hot pot and it's a hot plate. It would hot be plate. Nice if it was a constant Chinese hot pot that he could
that would be like a great, that would be worth at least a couple hundred extra dollars. Just a constant hot pot for free all the time.
It's very moist inside the apartment at all times, but it smells wonderful.
Just glowing.
Just glowing. All right, Scotty, send us home.
I got all kinds of stories to send us home and to send our good friend Kate to Canada. I'll do two quickies. First is Valerie O'Neill sent this. Thank you, Valerie. You always send wonderful stories.
Oh, yeah.
This was on WSBTV.com, written by that swinging WSBTV.com news staff. Georgia couple says moving company stole all their sex dominoes.
Sex dominoes.
Sex dominoes.
Sex dominoes.
Kate, do you know what sex dominoes are?
You know, I was trying to think about what they could be, and my guess is they have like, you know, there's like, they have sexual instructions like grab a booby or something, but I don't know.
Most of them say grab a booby. I'm interested in finding out. Scotty, what are sex dominoes?
It's exactly what you're saying.
Grab a booby.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be obscene on this lighthearted podcast. This family friendly show.
There are many different types, but there are 28 dominoes with 14 sexually stimulating rewards on each one. You play it like dominoes. You don't knock them over like dominoes. And yeah, when you start to win the dominoes, you can use them to say, let's try this interesting. Let's try French style kissing on this evening. A Georgia couple told deputies that a moving company stole their sex dominoes last week on March 13th. So not long ago, actually.
Beware the Ides of March. That's what they meant.
Yeah. They're going to steal your sex dominoes.
Columbia Sheriff's County office said that a moving company was helping him pack up his house and a theft occurred. Coleman Worldwide Moving had multiple employees packing items, according to the man. It just says according to the man.
Why is this a news story? How sex dominoes can't cost more than $24.
They're very affordable, so shockingly. They cost $26.95.
And again, gives a shit? I mean, like, this is crazy.
That's less than a dollar per domino, Kurt.
I like to imagine, like, the boss of this moving company, you know, like a moving company boss, like, which of you took the sex dominoes, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like, we've been doing quality moving for 30 years and never gotten any press coverage, but one of you assholes took a $26 box of sex dominoes, and now we're in the news? Now?
You made the news. Police report said the man signed moving papers, then saw one mover go back to the area near his dresser to grab a drill before leaving. But after the movers left, the sex dominoes, along with an iPad, were missing.
All right, there it is. There it is.
Again, this is just not news. The man told police he would prosecute if the suspect was identified. And then I'll finish on this one. Since we started with
have a short story for that.
About sex dominoes?
Yeah, I don't know if this is dating me, and it probably is, but
that's okay.
When I was a kid, like 13, 14, and we were too nervous to buy condoms in supermarkets or whatever, so we would go to Pete and Elda's in Neptune, New Jersey. And because they had a condom machine in the bathroom, in the men's room. And so you could bring in like 50 cents and then buy single condoms in little cardboard boxes. But they always had, yes, and they always had like a bunch of different ones to choose from. And it was like lubed, non-lubed,
ribbed.
And then one was just called the French Tickler.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Awesome.
And it was a type of condom that it appeared from the picture to have a feather at the tip of it.
Yeah.
And I've never got it, and so I don't know if that is the case, that the French Tickler condom at Pete and Elda's in Neptune, New Jersey, had a feather at the end of it, but it seems like a very weird type of condom.
Kate, in women's in truck stops and rest stop and that kind of thing, in the women's rooms, do they have vending machines with condoms or horny goat weed or trucker's speed or any of that stuff?
No vending machines, which is unfortunate because the most useful kind of vending machine would probably be the tampon vending machine.
Yeah.
And those are actually extraordinarily rare. You almost never see them, but they would come in handy.
Right?
Maybe that's our business. Maybe we spin that off Bananas Kerr. It's just the Banana Boys discount tampons for truck stops all across this beautiful land.
Yeah.
We're here for you.
All across the nation.
Back. Bring it back.
Yellow packaging.
You want something to do in the bathroom.
But yeah, in men's, to this day, you stop in certain gas stations and stuff, and there's like, Kurt, you can picture it. It still has like a slot for quarters.
Yeah.
And it's like you pump in $1.50, and it's like two pills that are just straight caffeine, and then weirdo condoms, almost like gag condoms, like you're saying a French Tickler that looks like it has like little rubber fingers on the end of it. And then it'll be like some sexual stimulant called like Mega Hard.
Oh,
and then
do you remember? Right? Were you at UCB when I did that show where I was like hosting a show, stand up show, and I had bought like two different types of those sex drugs at like bodegas that bodegas always had.
Yeah, this sounds familiar.
And then I just asked if anybody in the audience wanted to take them, and I would take one and the other person would take the other one, and we would see like what happened. Do you remember that?
I do remember.
That was crazy.
But the
and
guy
also,
in the audience was having like
happened.
Heart palpitations, right? Wasn't I thought
well,
he was
one
like
guy
a
had
wreck.
Heart palpitations yeah. And then one woman was just like, I feel pretty great.
Wait a sec. We need to get these in women's restroom stops. It's a fun time. And then last but not least, I'll wrap it up with this one, and we'll send you on your way. Kate, thanks for being on Bananas, by the way.
Yeah,
oh, thank you, and thank you for your patience with my rest stop.
No, you're no cool. Worries. And plug anything you want to plug before we hit this last headline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, I would just love to tell you to check out my special. It's called Loopholes. It'll be April 23rd on Amazon and Apple TV. Cool. I'm also going to premiere a new podcast at the beginning of May, and that's going to be called Ruining Dinner. And I'm going to have a bunch of my friends and famous people on to talk about the subjects that they most make things awkward with. So I'm really looking.
Oh, wow. We might have lost.
That's a good idea.
We might have lost Kate right at the end there. That's kind of amazing.
Yeah, I think we lost her right at the end. Well, then I'll just send you home with this, Kurt.
Yeah.
Erica Ribley Hawk, which is a great name. Erica, it could also be Erica Riblet Hack. So we'll go either way. Erica Ribley Hawk. God, what a name. Ohio man says he lost 3.1 pounds eating only Skyline chili for a whole week.
Wow, that makes sense.
It's the opposite of planking.
That makes sense, though.
That is cranking.
That's called
though.
Ketoing.
Cincinnati.com, written by Bebe Hodges, who's the best in the
business. Bebe Hodges.
Bebe Hodges. Ohio-based content creator showed Skyline Chili some love this past week when he got all this attention from anybody. His name is Sir Yacht. His real name is Joey Kinsley, and he ate nothing but Skyline Chili for an entire week and, of course, documented his journey online. He consumed Skyline for 3 meals a day for 7 days. Yep, that's 21 consecutive meals, an estimated 30,450 calories, and mostly ate five ways, Coney dogs, and Chilitos. Now, Kurt, you know a three-way... For the bananimals around the world who have no idea what we're talking about, in Cincinnati, they have this kind of chili called Skyline Chili. It's sweet, and it's not very thick or chunky, and they put them on hot dogs with cheese. But then they have this thing called a three-way, which is their signature dish, which is a steaming pile of spaghetti with their Skyline chili on it, and then so much shredded cheddar cheese, it's insane. But then you go five-way Curdy B, mm-hmm. and you add beans and onions. And that's what Sir Yacht was doing.
Oh, so with the pasta?
He did. He did it all. He did mostly five-ways and conies. He said he wanted to see what eating spaghetti three times a day would do to me. The answer, the creator said, he lost 3.1 pounds, and he also credited long walks. We're long walk guys. We get that.
Yeah.
And plenty of toilet time.
That's what he credits? That's a quote from him?
He actually said plenty of hours toilet squatting is what he said.
That's what he said?
That is a quote.
Well, I guess the person who eats only Skyline chili is a weird way of talking.
Yes, he does. Kinsley also said, and we'll wrap it up with this, that the week-long adventure was worth it, and he'd do it again. We salute him for his bravery, and he adds that he would do it again, quote, faster than you can say, call a plumber.
And that's where we leave you, bananimals. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks to Kay Willett. She was a great guest, and we appreciate her finding the time. Curdy B.
Thank you to Katie Levine, our intrepid producer, Lisa Maggot, our full human, part-time intern, part-time employee. And thank you to our benevolent overlords at Exactly Right, George and Karen. That's it, folks.
See you in Seattle and Portland, Kurt. Bananas is an Exactly Right Media production.
Our producer and engineer is Katie Levine.
The catchy Bananas theme song was composed and performed by Kahan.
Artwork for Bananas was designed by Travis Millard.
And our benevolent overlords are the great Karen Kilgariff and Georgia Hardstark.
And Lisa Maggot is our full human, not a robot intern.
Bananas.